Let's join host David Paxton for part two of our comprehensive Bible study discussing the descendants of Ham, from the bloodlines of ancient empires to the prophecies unfolding today.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Another study. Usually this is done in the middle of the week, but we had Mark on. Since Mark's in England, he had a hide for the July 4th weekend, so we're going to do this. We just switched around the day so he could be on in the middle of the week, and we're here on the weekend. So welcome, everybody. We're going to do continue our study of ham, not the pork variety that you eat, but ham in the Sons of Noah. Did you think it was pork?
No. No, but, I did think it's kind of a crazy way to name somebody, But I mean,
we're thinking English, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. but yeah, you're right. Mark kind of we had to do it when we had to do it. Okay. We like to have Mark on at least once a month, and that's the time we could get him. So we just delayed the Bible study by a couple of days, and now we're here, and
it worked out. We had it tonight, July 4th, so that was good.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Would you pray us in as we enter into this semi-quintessimal year?
Oh, there you go. Father, we come to you and we ask for your guidance today as David presents today's lesson. Father, we ask that you allow the people out there that need to hear this message to tune in and keep them interested, and to spark that little bit of interest that allows the Holy Spirit that opportunity to draw them in and bring them to Christ. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We agree. So we left off at put, right? Another crazy name.
We did, yeah. We did. And by the way, for everybody out there, I'm going to be turning to look at a computer over here because I don't have a printed copy of David's notes. I'm going to be looking on the computer. David, before you get going, I think we need to go ahead and, because this is usually our week in review day. So real quick, we'll just, I'm going to run through this so fast, it's going to be over before you know it. Number one, the United States and Israel carried on a mission which set back Iran's nuclear program by at least a year to 2 years. And, of course, Trump's big, beautiful bill was signed into law on July the 4th. Can't think of a better day. I don't know all the ins and outs of the bill yet, but everything I've heard about it sounds pretty good, even though the Democrats say people are going to die. But, of course, every time the Republicans do something, people are going to die, but people never die. Anyway. That's it, David. That's all I got for week in review. What you got anything that you want to point out except for your crazy New York guy?
That's it. That's kind of a boring week. What about the big beautiful bill?
yeah. Well, I mean, I just don't know enough about it yet. I haven't dug deep
figure
into
out what's
it.
Going on there.
And the reason I don't, I'm going to be completely honest here. I didn't think it would pass. I thought the Republicans would blow it. They always do. I thought they'd drop the ball, but instead Trump pushed them across the line. He got it done. So anyway, I got to go in and educate myself on it completely.
I'm hearing all sorts of different things on it. But they're pushing the Planeteer, which is essentially AI tracking of information. So you got one half of our Christian family is saying, hey, there it is, the mark of the beast stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you got the other ones that, wasn't that part of it to get rid of the IRS? I think we got to look at that too.
He wants to, I don't know if that's part of it or not. I can't remember. But I do know I'm on Social Security and they're not going to tax my Social Security anymore. So I can do the Trump dance.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And that was the big thing is no tax on retirees. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's going to trickle down into the property tax as well.
Yeah, well, who knows? Here in Texas, I know statewide, they're working on it here. I don't know how that's going to work out, but, they're working on it.
Yeah, anyway. It's a couple of states that do that already. Anyway, So should be interesting. All I know, though, is Jesus is coming back and he's going to rule righteously. So
amen.
We're looking forward to that.
Amen.
And we're not putting our faith in the worldly governments, a.k.a. Babylon.
Right. Yeah. And you're sure not going to put your faith in what's his name up there? The mayor.
I don't know.
The mayor that will never be.
One, right? I don't know.
I hope he's never the mayor of New York City.
Nah, he won't be. You got, actually, because of him being put in there, you got Sliwa. Remember Sliwa and the Guardian Angel?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he's gaining a lot of interest now. And ironically, it's because they put this clown in there. And he was the one back in the day that was helping to fight all this stuff.
Well, I've seen where there's a call for Cuomo to get out.
I mean, thought he was out. Didn't they have the primary?
Well,
he was going to run as an independent.
Yeah,
right?
He thought he was going to run as an independent. But what I understand is that people are saying, get out of the way. We're afraid we're going to elect a communist if you're there. You know, so, you know, we'll just have to see.
I think it would actually be a good thing because it would split the Democratic vote in half.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which would make it that much better.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but you know, I'm not a New Yorker. I don't know how y'all stuff works.
Yeah, and well, it depends on who's running the voting machines.
Mm. Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, that's plain enough. That's plain enough. Okay, all right.
Because even at the one down here, you can see they pull up. They pull up in buses, you know, and then they come out and they all vote and they hand in them. Okay, you're this person today. And you're this person today.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like. Yeah, it's blatant. And if I could see that, you know, obviously they know what's going on. So these people, they would literally put them in a bus. They'd go to a voting station and they'd all get in the bus and go to the next one.
Well, now I have heard where that's a part of the big, beautiful bill, from what I understand. There's a lot of election stuff in there. You know, I don't know the specifics.
Yeah, and
yet.
I think it's going to be just paper ballots and like, you know, what they do in the Middle East, they dip your finger in, like, purple ink.
Yeah, and everybody goes out with their finger.
There you
I've seen that.
Walking around. Now they know. That's a really good way to do it.
It is. It is, because it takes you a while to get rid of that stuff. You know, take a day or two.
It's like, you ain't getting rid of that today. So you voted. Get out.
Yeah. All right, David, now we'll get down to some serious business here, which is the descendants of Ham. Genesis 10, 6 through 11. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So you remember Put, right? That's where we left off.
That's where we left off. And so I don't know enough about him yet, but I'm going to learn.
Yeah. And we'll get this. It's semi-important, all this stuff. The real fun begins when we get to Shem.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the heritage and everything comes down. Shem means the name.
Okay.
Like name. So when you hear people say Hashem.
Okay.
You know, So they're not allowed to say the word. It's the unpronounceable name of God. No, it's Yahweh, Yehovah. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say it. But what had happened is for many years, if you were Jewish and you had their Bible and everything, they would kill you. So they had to hide their Torah. They had it, and they couldn't say anything. So they say. Instead of saying his name, they're like, oh, Hashem, the name. That's literally what it means in Hebrew. And then some people believe that, it's because it's too holy, you can't say it. No, they just didn't want to be killed. He actually said there's power.
Well, you know, just popped in my mind, one thing that always, it never made sense to me. When Moses went up on the mountain and, you know, and I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but God identified himself as I am.
Yes.
And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I mean, you know, you tell that to a 6-7-year-old kid, you know, in Sunday school class. What do you mean? I am. I am too. Well, what is it? Never made sense.
Yep.
Until many years later.
In the Hebrew.
Until many years later. I mean, I didn't finish that thought. Go ahead.
Yep. It makes a lot of sense in the Hebrew. And it's like, basically, in the Hebrew, it stands for the one who is and was and is to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we see Jesus calling himself in Revelation as well.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
So that's what he'd say. He says, I am mm-hmm. that I am. Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus said, hey, I'm the one who is and was and is to come, he's literally saying, I am the I am.
I am the I am.
That talked to Moses. So,
right. So, yeah.
Jesus never said he was God. Yeah.
Who should I say sent me? I think that was the lead in to the I am thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
All right, David. Sorry to take away from you there. Go ahead.
And that's what it is, Hava. So when it said Yod Hey Vav Hey, that's Hava is to be. That's the word to be. And literally, Yod Hey Vav Hey or Yahovah. It was the past, present, and future tense of to be in the Hebrew.
Okay.
So his name literally means that, the one who was and is to come, the eternal one. So it's pretty cool. So there, you got that straight?
Yep, I'm good.
All right. Now say semi-quintessimal.
Semi-quintessimal.
Okay, good.
I'm getting there slowly.
All right, so Put was basically the father of the North African warriors and mercenaries.
Okay,
Put. Yay. So this is one of the descendants of Ham. Again, Ham is all like basically the African nations.
Okay.
That's a big continent, too.
One thing I noticed right off the top here is biblical mentions. Just jumped right out at me right away, and I'm thinking, this is only in Genesis 10, but we're looking at Jeremiah 46, Ezekiel 27, Ezekiel 30, Nahum 3, Ezekiel 38. I mean, really?
Yeah, they're in Gog and Magog.
I never realized it. Okay.
Yeah, they're all over the place. So a lot of people think they're the Libyans.
Okay.
So ancient Egyptian and Greek sources basically will say that Put is Libya.
Okay.
And that's the land of Libu, the Libu people, which would be Libya.
Libya, okay.
Yeah, okay. So that would be Put. And okay. So it's P-H-U-T, but it's not F like we say in English. It's P. It's P and an H together. Put, with a breath in it. And the ha is in there with the breath. So they were known to be warriors and archers. So they were really good. So that's why they were really good at being mercenaries. And then the Libyans. Well, wasn't it Idi Amin? Wasn't he in Libya?
No, he was in Uganda.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah. who was the leader of the Libyan?
Gaddafi.
That's right. I keep mixing them up.
That's okay. Yeah.
I just remember the old song, Idi Amin.
Well, most amazing man there's ever been. Don't think I know so much about this. The only reason I know that is because I went to church with Lanny Elmore, who was a missionary in Uganda and was actually pulled in front of Idi Amin and thought he was going to die, both him and his wife. They witnessed a lot of Christian missionaries being executed, and they didn't think they were going to get out of Uganda alive. So I've heard a lot of stories about Idi Amin and Uganda. So that's the reason I can always remember that one. Yeah, I can always remember.
Good. Well, it paid off here. Now we remember.
Yes, it did.
And it says, well, Jeremiah, you said, talk about 46:9. It says, Put and Cush handle the shield. Mm-hmm. So it talks about them being warriors. And then in Ezekiel 27, we see them serve as mercenaries for Tyre, and obviously the king of Tyre is equated with the Antichrist and all that. And then Ezekiel 30, he's in there again. So it's all over Ezekiel, Put.
Yeah.
He allied with Egypt in judgment. And then in Ezekiel 38... he's among the Gog and Magog coalition at the end of times, too.
Yeah, I noticed that one. And, I think I mentioned that last week, that I was, I'm still confused as to how somebody, was Ham a really good person? I mean, Was he?
I don't know. Apparently, he got some issues.
The reason I ask is because, you know, I'm thinking Ham is okay, but all of his descendants, or not all, but a bunch of his descendants come against Israel in the end times, you know, and I'm just trying to put it all together and make sense out of it.
Yeah, Ham was the one that saw his Noah naked, so.
Okay. I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah, so, okay. And so many different people have so many different things about that. I think the biggest one is like, he uncovered his father's nakedness.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say, oh, that's because, you know, it was a homosexual tendency that he saw his father naked. But I think the biggest thing is when you would, the idiom of uncovering your father's nakedness would be to have relations with his wife.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So that's what some people think is, you know, maybe he, you know, had some ill doings with his mother, which is why the curse came on him.
Okay. Okay.
And it's like now, because you've done that and messed with my son and your son, so it goes down the line to Cush.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's more to the story elsewhere, but
isn't
we really
kind of
don't
bringing
have
up your contract terms again, there, David?
Yeah.
As far as the next generation or to the what is it, third or fourth generation?
The third, even unto the third and the fourth generation. Yeah.
Okay.
So we brought that, and there's a lot of conjecture about that going on. You could look that up if you want. But that's why. So, but one of those offspring is put here, and he was the warrior.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see the significance. Like Cush and Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim is Egypt, we know, but Put represents worldly powers aligned against God's people in various ages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when we get to Shem, we're going to see how that, you know, Eber means, you know, to cross over. So there's a group that left, but, all these people stayed in the Babylonian realm, like Put.
Okay.
So they aligned against the people who left. So we see that separation that God says. There's always a separation, right?
Well, isn't that kind of similar to now, really? Where you've got people that are aligning with the political correctness, go along with the crowd rather than follow the Lord, right? It's the same thing now as then.
Yeah, exactly. And even for some of our friends are anti-Israel, which is a shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, we understand that Israel is apostate right now.
Right.
And we understand they're doing, you know, as a nation, doing some horrible things. But all these other things, because the Eberus or the Hebrews were called out, and that includes a couple other people too. It's not just them. It just filters down. It goes from the Eber, then it goes down to Abraham, and then it goes down to Jacob, and then that's really the called out bunch, the crossing over bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's other descendants of Eber, which technically would be Eberus as well. Okay. But the promise was down one specific line, and it kept going like a root, you know. But now once they're called away, all these other worldly powers will come against them. So now you have, again, the Psalm 82, right? Or is it Psalm 82? I keep forgetting it's 82. I think it's 83. Where you got the principalities and powers are all taking territories. Okay?
Yeah.
There's one territory that was crossing over to Eberus, and they basically crossed over to a new way of thinking and new everything. It's a lot of implications. We'll get into that next week. But then all these other worldly powers would line up against that.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what we see as far as the nations go. So Put was just one of the worldly powers that line up against the chosen ones, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I would say, you know, we've all seen this show, The Chosen, right?
Yeah, I haven't ever really watched it, but yeah. I've seen clips. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as I'm not a big fan, because if you're just making a show, it's a cool show. They got some really good stuff. However, it's just not accurate.
Right. That's the reason I haven't really watched it. I don't like watching shows that take too much license, you know?
There's a little bit of artistic license that you can do, but they go way out of bounds with the artistic license.
Right. Yeah.
Which is cool if you're just making up a show. If you're just making a show, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, Matthew was autistic. Okay. But he wasn't. That's the whole thing.
Right.
So, but they weren't the chosen. The chosen are actually Israel.
Yeah.
The church, as we know it, is the ecclesia. They're called out.
Amen.
It's different. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Israel is chosen as a nation, but the ecclesia is called out. Now, here's the thing. You can say, oh, here's all the people that from Put, and they're aligning against God's people. Let's remember that all of these things are people that are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody from any nation can be part of the ecclesia, the called out government of Jesus.
Amen. Right.
And that's what I want to make clear, because he said, you know, the blindness of Israel will be in part until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. And anybody from any of these nations, the Muslim nations, the Ham nations down in the south, the Japheth nations, the European, all these nations that come against Israel, anybody from any of the Goyim or the Gentiles, and including anyone from Israel, can be called out.
Yeah, and that...
Well, now we're completely separate.
Yeah, the including Israel part there, you know, there's very few, well, you tell me. My understanding is there's very few Jews that choose to become Christians, or am I mistaken about that?
Well, as far as if you compare the entire nation, it is a great number. There are many, many Messianic Jews. However, if you compare them to all of Israel and all the Jews around the world, it's a low percentage. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense.
And so when we're talking about these different nations, I don't want people to say, oh, look, you know, we're doomed to come against God's people and wind up in judgment, you know, we're swallowed up in judgment, as it says in Isaiah, and they will bow to the Lord. No, those are the people who don't accept Christ.
Right.
Okay. Right. Anybody from any nation, any human being ever conceived, actually, can receive Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And, you know, even if they were only around for moments after conception, God knows. God knows their hearts. And
Amen.
God knows their spirits, because they're an eternal spirit. Mm-hmm. And he knew them before the foundation of the world. So he's got that figured out. We don't have to figure that out yet.
Yeah, right? Thank goodness for that. Yeah.
we're going to find out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I just want to be crystal clear about that. Anybody, even from the land of Put here, or Canaan, which we're going to talk about next.
Right.
You can be saved.
I did notice here that it says that his descendants are swallowed up in judgment, but referenced among nations that will bow to the Lord, Isaiah 45:14. Now, that's Put's descendants, right?
Correct.
Okay. Not Ham and
Put. I just talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
When Jesus comes back, you know, two-thirds of Israel would have been destroyed by then, according to Zechariah, but the one-third that's left as a nation will receive him, and then he'll be on the throne.
Yeah.
So imagine that. All these nations, we think they're just going to disappear. Yeah, you're going to lose more than half of the population of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But then that means you still have half the population of the earth. Mm-hmm. So all these nations will finally recognize that Jesus is the Messiah and ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. So we will have people that make it through this tribulation period, and those will be the people that, and just like we see, like Shem outlived Abraham. People don't realize that he actually lived past the death of Abraham, but he was born way before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see like a reverse of that. There's going to be people that have, you know, they're going to get into the millennium, and then they're going to give birth to children that live right through it.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what's one thing is kind of crazy here is, you know, the whole world's against Israel. I mean, when you really look at it right now, I mean, yeah, there's a couple of countries that get along with them okay, or, you know, the United States still supports them, at least for now. But after Jesus comes back and everything is established, then it's just kind of flipped on its head. All of a sudden, Israel is the one that's in charge, and, you know, because they're ruling and reigning on the earth, and, you know, it's a reversal. And maybe that's got something to do, it just hit my brain here, but maybe that's got something to do with the fact that after even 1,000 years that they turn on Jesus because of the fact that there was that flip that happened, you know, 1,000 years ago. Remember, we were in charge. Why can't we be in charge again? You know,
some people, you know, mess up history like they did now. It's not going to be nearly as bad, but it's there to show that even after 1,000 years of perfect righteousness in rule, that people still have that wicked heart.
Yeah.
And that's why at the end of that, he's going to create a whole new heaven and a whole new earth where people simply cannot be wicked anymore.
Right. That's taken away. That's great.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I'm still trying to see and find out. I don't think so. I think what he's... after that, he will have all the people that he wants in eternity. So I think, because once we go into eternity, we don't have children anymore. We're in eternity.
Right.
So the people that are here for that 1,000 years, after that 1,000 years, when he creates a new heaven and a new earth, will we be reproducing anymore? Or is it, hey, these are the people we got, you know, this multitude, which no man can number. And these are the ones that are going to live through eternity. That's going to be an interesting question. Put that on the list.
And we have no idea. Put it on our question list.
When we get home. In the meantime, whether we have kids or not, you want to make sure you're there. So that being said, if you have not received Christ, please do so before the second half of the show in case, you know, the rapture happened.
Right.
And we're not here.
Yeah.
That's real easy. Just admit you're a sinner, okay, and say, hey, you know what, Jesus paid for my sins with that contract, and I accept him, and I'm going to live in, and I'm going to rule and reign with him. In the meantime, we are here. We will be continue to bring God's word, and Lord willing, we will see you guys in the second half.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run With Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run With Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Isn't this fun? Yeah. So sometimes it, you know, can get boring talking about all the, you know, the lineages and stuff.
Yeah,
and even when you find out what they mean, it could still be boring.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I told you, it made me crazy when, you know, going through the Bible and first couple of readings anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, I'm tired of the begetting. I'm done with begetting. You know, let's move on to something else. But I'll throw this one in there real quick before you start, get back into it again. And that is, you know, the begetting got to me, but I'm not one that likes to hear too much about, you know, blood and guts and all that kind of stuff. I'm, you know, it's just not my thing. And which one is it in the Bible? Is it Deuteronomy or which one is it? Where they have all the, you know, they're
killing all the tribes.
Where they're, you know, gutting everything and cutting everything up and all that. You know, I didn't like that either. You know, I'd skip over that. I don't know. Let's get away from the blood and guts. I'm done with the blood and guts. I don't get it.
It's the truth, though. You know, people say, oh, this and that and the other. Oh, well, how come, you know, it's got King David and all the stuff he did wrong. I said, well, then it'd be lying if it didn't.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the deal, David, that most people don't equate, is that, you know, you've got to say the bad in order for the good to make it, to make a difference. You know, and I mean, if everybody was a saint, then people like us, you know, 2,000 years later, we're like, well, we got no hope. You know, I mean, if all these people were saint worthy, then I can't be a saint, you know. We just didn't, you know, I mean, you've got to really read it, and then you've got to understand it. And it takes time to do that.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is that proves the authenticity of it. Because if they were going to contrive a book, like, the Quran's contrived, and women don't have any kind of a role in it. So, you know, that's significant for back then. So when you see the role of women in the Bible, and then you realize the time that it was written in, if they wanted to contrive a story, they absolutely would not have included women.
Right.
You know, so just the fact that it's there is telling you the truth, and that, you know, because if that's what they wanted to do is spread this story around, no one wanted to hear it because of the women that were involved. And so all the things that are in there that seem a little, you know, screwy or whatever are just, it's verifiable proof that it's just telling you the truth. This is what happened.
Well, you know,
that's pretty cool.
The women in the Bible, there's several women in the Bible that took prominent roles. I mean, very prominent roles. Yeah. And you're sure not going to see that in the Quran. Yeah.
No, they wouldn't put that in there because it's a fake book.
Right.
And that just goes to show you the authenticity of the Bible. Here's another thing, too. Think about this for a moment. Okay. Do you love the book of Proverbs?
Yes.
Okay. You realize that we would not have the book of Proverbs had David not committed adultery.
Never thought about it.
Right?
Yeah. It was
adulterous affair that led to, you know, the whole thing with Bathsheba.
Right. Yeah. I never put it together. Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that wild?
Uh-huh. It is.
Yeah. So, and it's because of his adulterous affair that he wound up sticking with Bathsheba, and then here comes Solomon, and he takes over as the king. From that's just wild.
Yeah,
How God could take even our complete failures and turn around and use them for good.
Right. Yeah.
So that's good news. So even if you're a complete failure.
You can still be a winner.
We are.
Yeah. You can still
God
win.
God will take that and use it for good.
Absolutely. Before I forget, and I'm not even really sure why this popped in my mind, but it did. You've heard of the Dalai Lama, I'm sure. And he is getting very old. And I saw a news, couple of news reports this week where he was making a statement that there would be another Dalai Lama. From what I understood from past history, going back on things I'd heard in the past, that he was supposed to be the last one. But he said that there will be another one. What I didn't realize, David, was that they base all this on, what's it called? When you come back to life again. What is that called?
Reincarnation.
Reincarnation. Yeah, they base the whole thing on reincarnation. And he said that the next Dalai Lama would not come from China, would come from another country.
Good for him.
Yeah. So anyway, if you people out there are thinking that there is, you know, this thing where you're going to come back again as a dog or a donkey or another person or something like that.
How about a gerbil?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to call, I would really hate to call you this, but you're just a complete idiot if you believe that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's just my personal opinion.
Well, the Bible says you're, you know, stupid on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, willing and ignorant.
Yeah, he is not a religious person. Let me tell you this. The Dalai Lama is not going to be in heaven. You're not going to see him up there. It's just not going to happen.
No.
All right, David, I'm sorry to take away from you there. I'll turn it back over to you.
No, man. That's a fun topic, actually. That just goes right along with that Ouroboro thing, the snake that, you know, has, and then he eats his tail. And that's okay. Because remember, they're trying to avoid the end of the age.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if they can create a time loop of sorts, then they feel that they won't have to face the judgment. They'll just do this time over and over. And that's essentially what reincarnation is. It's like, oh, I'm not going to face judgment. I'm just going to come back as something else.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep going around this circle.
Yeah.
You know, instead of actually coming to the end and saying, hey, there's a throne here. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the deal. There is no circle. Okay, there's patterns and types, yes, but that doesn't mean it's a big circle.
Right.
No, even the Lion King, oh, the circle of life. No, it's the end. Things born, it lives, it dies.
Yeah,
that's
right.
The end. There's no circle.
Yeah, yeah. Make the most of it while you're here.
Yeah, yeah. So, which leads us right into Canaan.
Yes, okay.
I don't know how, but it does.
We're getting there.
Yeah. So Canaan was another descendant of Ham, and he was the father of the Canaanite tribes and spiritual oppression. He settled in what is now modern Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, and parts of Syria. So that whole thing.
There where everything's happening right now.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them basically were... they mixed with the Nephilim, so that you get a lot of Nephilim stuff mixed in with these tribes.
Okay,
that's why a lot of them had to be, completely obliterated.
Right.
So they had Baal worship and they had all this other stuff.
That's another thing, David. I'm glad you said that because that's something else that I think people need to hear. Is, you know, many times in the Bible. God commanded them to go in, Israel, to go in and completely obliterate this this group of people. And not only them, but all their animals and everything. I mean, kill everything. And I think that's something that a lot of people read and they say, oh, well, this is a hateful God right here. You know, what if I'd have been born one of them? You know, Can you kind of explain that just a little bit? Because I know it took some explaining to me before I understood it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty simple. Just look at the tribes that were there. Now, remember, God told Abraham where he was going to live. Hey, it's going to be over here. He even went up to sacrifice on Mount Moriah, which is, what we hear. It's, most people believe it, it was actually Golgotha. And then so it was just a type and a pattern of things to come. But it was all that land in Jerusalem. And he said, it's going to be about 400 years. I'm going to have your descendants in Egypt for a little bit, so essentially so they could grow and become a people. It was like an incubator until it was time to kick them out. Mm-hmm. And, 400 years later with Joey, so they got him in there with Joey and they got him out with Moses. And in the meantime, they had, since a promise was there, Satan had essentially 400 years to lay down a minefield, if you would. Mm-hmm. So he tried to put all the Canaanites in and their evil worship. And I believe it was one of Canaan's descendants that found the writings of the Nephilim in the Book of Jubilees. I think it was one of his. So they basically did all the chants. You got Nimrod and you got became a mighty man. So you have all these different things that happen. And they're essentially bringing in the Nephilim spirits again. So when the Bible says there was giants in the land in those days and even afterwards, that's what he's talking about. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is what the Canaanites were all about. And he wanted to plant them in the land that Abram was supposed to take over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if he could plant them there, he can keep the promise from coming true.
Right.
That was the idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you see all the Canaanites throughout the land, and there are all sorts of ites, this ites and that ites, and then God says, go in and destroy them, it's because they were evil.
Yeah.
They were literally half-breeds. They weren't even humans. They were half-human, half-evil spirit.
Yeah, that's the key point right there, is that they were not really human. I mean, not 100%. Yeah.
And they would seek to destroy any people that were human because they were weaker. Remember.
Wasn't this another opportunity for humanity to make a good decision and make a bad one? Because God said, go take care of these people. And they were, sympathetic? Or they were,
A couple of times they didn't do what they were told and they ran into some big problems.
Yeah, and it came back to bite them. Later on, even to this day.
And that's what happened. So Satan was trying to thwart God's plan again, and so he laid the minefields with all the different the Anakim and all the different things. And what was it? Some of the ancient astronaut theories of today. Oh, the Anunnaki, they came from space. No, they didn't come from space. They were demons, okay, and they'll tell you anything just so you don't know where they really come from. So he told them to go and kill them all because they were just evil half-breeds, bent on destroying. And you see the same thing in movies today. We went to go see a movie, and we found out after we went it was a zombie movie. I was like, wait a minute. This is not why we came in here. But it shows the mindset of people that they're infiltrated by something not human and then became these zombies. It's the same idea back then. Yeah, and their whole thing was, oh, you got to kill all of them. You can't deal with them.
They got to be completely wiped out. If you completely wipe them out, you're going to be good. But if you leave a remnant, it's going to come back to bite you. And they left that remnant, and now we're dealing with it now. And again, we're identifying Israel, Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. So we're identifying here Gaza. Okay, there's Hamas. Okay, Lebanon. Well, there's Hezbollah, right? Syria. Well, they're just evil. I think Hezbollah's in there a little bit. I'm not sure who else. The only thing I don't see here is Yemen. I don't see Yemen mentioned there, but
Yemen. Yeah. Yemen.
But anyway, like I mean,
pudding flavor.
Good grief. I mean, you got the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and then you got et cetera. So because I know there's a bunch more ites out there, too.
Here and I, there and I. We still have it today with the you know, kilobytes and megabytes and gigabytes and
right.
terabytes.
Everything in ites.
Uh-huh. It's all over our computers. I don't get it. So but that's essentially what happened with Canaan. It was used for that purpose. Mm-hmm. So we see all the other tribes, you know, Put was the warrior one. Now we're into Canaan, and they wanted to just take over the land. Mm-hmm. And remember Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies that went in with them.
Mm-hmm.
They went in and they all came back and says, they're scared and they're like, they want to run away. And they because of it.
Didn't Joshua? What was Joshua a part of that initial group? I can't remember. Okay.
Joshua and Caleb, and they so the 12 went out, and they came back, and they're like, "This is cool. We could take them."
Yeah, and then the others were like, "Oh,
yeah, they're all terrified.
They're so big.
We're like grasshoppers in their sight."
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what does that mean? We're like grasshoppers in their sight. It means they thought they were really tiny, so these people must have been huge.
Yeah. So disobey God and let's take a 40-year hike.
mm-hmm. Yeah. So they wanted to hide, and that's if I'm looking at it, that's probably the same percentage as the church that I see today.
Yeah, that's about
two
right.
out of 12 are willing to fight.
Yeah, and that might be high.
It might be. Yeah, we were at some events recently, and it's like, I'm talking to a bunch of so-called Christians, and it's like, hey, and this and that, and all the stuff we talk about with the shots and the Nephilim and then the Revelation and all, and they're looking at you like that deer with the headlights.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they hadn't heard it. Yeah, uh-huh.
Huh? Yeah. And then let me go back to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
we're in the same boat.
Yeah, and that just jumped out at me, David, because of the Gaza, Lebanon, Syria stuff, and what's going on. I mean, we concentrate on news a lot, and mm-hmm. I mean, that's news. I mean, that's current events right there hitting you right in the face, current events, and it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 10.
Yep.
That's amazing.
I think the term, the promised land really paints that picture, because it was promised to mm-hmm. Abraham and his, chosen descendants, down through Jacob. And if it was promised to them, then the devil's going to try and steal it because, mm-hmm. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So it just fits the same pattern of all through history, and they're still there today trying to take the land.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole, we think, the two-state solution is going to bring peace, and it's like, it's not.
No.
So, that's one thing. We talk about Trump all the time, and a lot of things he's doing is good, but if he creates a two-state solution, that's a major problem.
That's a major problem, and that's one time when we will come out on the show, and we'll let everybody know that he just made the biggest goof. I mean, look, he can do everything great. I mean, I'm seeing a president right now that's doing everything that he said he was going to do. You know, whether you are for it or against it, you've got to agree he's doing exactly what he's campaigned to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, for us, we think it's good. But all that can be undone with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Split up Israel. Do it. If you do that, you lost me. Okay. I'm done. Because that tells me that we're in trouble. United States of America's in trouble. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of times, and you don't like to project this, but we do need to be aware that Satan will come as an angel of light and tell you all sorts of good things.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get into power so he can do the one thing that they wanted to plant.
Right.
I'm not saying that's the case here, because maybe he'll repent and change his mind on that and it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's a distinct possibility.
It is, especially with Jared Kushner. I haven't heard anything, maybe you have, but I have not heard any mention of Jared Kushner in Trump's second term so far. You know, we're about five months in. Whereas in the first term, he was all over the place. I can remember seeing him in just about everywhere. He was constantly being referred to. He was going to Israel. He was going to this country and that country, and he was talking to everybody. And I have not heard a whisper about Jared Kushner in this second term. And for those of you that don't know who he is Trump's son-in-law. And I forget which one of the daughters is married to him, but he is Jewish. And so he's full Jewish. He's not Messianic at all. So,
he's the Jewish that everyone complains about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 So anyway,
many different varieties, but
just something to keep your, watch out. Just keep your eye on it. Is all I can say. Just keep.
Yeah. 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 A lot of Christians complain about some of the apostate Jews, and that he would fit that narrative that they have. So,
all right. Well, let's get done here with Canaan.
Here we go.
Yeah. Genesis, Numbers, Deuteronomy, First Kings, Matthew. Good grief, David, a lot.
Matt, who doesn't love Matt? All right. So he was cursed right out of the gate. He was cursed by Noah. Cursed be Canaan, the servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Abraham was promised the land. And then we talked about this in Numbers, the 12 spies explore Canaan. And then in all through Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges, it talks about the Israel's conquest and partial occupation of what Canaanite land. I would actually, let's change it. It's not Canaanite land. It's the land they tried to steal.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Occupied. There's the true occupation. Yeah.
Yep. And see, this is what we're supposed to do. Like Solomon, he made the Canaanites servants in his kingdom. Okay, here, you do what you're told. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, even Muslims, try and turn that around and say, oh, you'll be the servants of us. Mm. You know, if you don't become Islam, then you'll be our servants.
Right.
It's like, no, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking down at Matthew 15:22. It says Jesus encountered a Canaanite woman whose faith he praises.
Right. So again, we're looking at the called out people. So even though this curse comes down from a lineage and a bloodline, if someone has that new contract with Jesus, they can be bought and redeemed. And now as servants, you know, like a slave, we were all slaves before we were born again. And a slave has no say in what the master is going to tell them to do. Like one slave could say, okay, you're going to be you dig out the hen house. Okay, that's your job. Another one's going to be the chef. Oh, I like that job. So someone's going to be a chef. One's going to be the concubine. So that's all they're going to do is be the prostitute. And another one is going to be the hole digger that's way out there. So it's hard labor all day long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a slave, we had no say in what that was. And that's why we have this generational contracts that we talk about, this lineage that we were there. And we really have no say in it until we're redeemed.
Right.
When Jesus buys us, now he's like, I have set you free from all that. So you no longer have to be that alcoholic. You don't have to be that prostitute. You don't have to be that drug addict. You don't have to be that anymore because I purchased you and now you're free. But you're free in Christ. And that's when Paul says, you know, hey, I'm now a bondservant of Christ. I choose myself to be this servant of Christ because he's such a good master. That he gives us all these good things and provides for us and actually made us his bride. So there's so many things in there that we see that we're not servants anymore. And even Jesus goes so far as say the Canaanite woman, and they would have understood this is one of the worst. Mm-hmm. Okay. We think, oh, Canaanite, she's from over here. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, she's a woman, number one. And number two, she's of the Canaanites who were seeking to destroy Israel. But she had faith in God, so it was Jesus was commending her and saying, okay, you're called out. Now you're free.
Yeah.
You're no longer a slave to sin.
Wouldn't that have been huge. So cool, David,
yeah.
To have been somebody that knew Jesus, you know, ran across him in his time on earth,
mm-hmm.
and to be commended by God while he was walking on the earth? Would that not have been just beyond cool?
Yeah, if they had known. And yeah. I don't think many of them knew until after the resurrection either.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, he's, you know, he's a prophet, he's a nice guy, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think they realized he was God until afterwards.
Yeah, that's just incredible to me.
You know, even the woman at the well is like, hey, this guy's a prophet. But she, I don't think she realized he was actually God.
Yeah, right.
Oh, until after. The demons knew.
Yeah, they did.
Like, why?
They saw him why? Coming from a distance. Yeah, they knew.
Yeah. So why are you here so early? It's not time yet. So they knew the time, too. So the historical impact of the Canaanite culture included Baal worship, and so we see that today.
Mm-hmm.
Child sacrifice, that's huge today.
Abortion.
And ritual prostitution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see that, that's all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just gets worse and worse. And so now all these kids that think they're going to make a lot of money, they're actually just selling themselves into prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you got to be real careful with your kids online, folks.
Yes, very.
So they're the spiritual symbol of unclean and demonic systems in the mm-hmm. scripture. That's why it's important that Jesus is talking to the Canaanite woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unclean demonic systems. And the cities of Canaan were strongholds, like Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
AI, not the one, you know, that we have today. It was actually a city called AI.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on Google, I don't think, back then. Hazor, Gaza, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a prophetic significance as the Canaanite curse foreshadows the war between the seed of the woman and the serpent. So we mm-hmm. see that in Revelation 12.
Right.
The Canaanites are displaced by Israel, symbolizing spiritual deliverance. Okay? So now God is going to use them to cleanse the land. And but he still calls people out of it. Rahab, who, by the way, is great-great-grandmother of David and then subsequently Jesus, Rahab the harlot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she was of the people of God. So that's really fascinating how he... all these curses came down, but God, in his mercy, if you accept him, will change your life around and actually Amen. Make you. So now we got Proverbs because of an adulterous situation. Now we got the Messiah because of the unclean woman, the whore, basically Rahab. Then and she saved the Israelites. So it's just, it's interesting the bloodline that Jesus had and how he fixed that.
Amen.
That's all I have to say about that. You want to take us out?
Yes, sir. Well, I truly hope that this message has reached that one individual out there, because we're looking for that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. And hopefully one of you that's listening is that individual, because we are ready to go home. Not that we want to die, but we do want to go to heaven and be with our Lord. If the rapture doesn't happen between now and next time, we will see you on the next edition of The Last Christian. Until then, good night and God bless.
Looking for a simple way to support The Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.